We're going to read the Bible together now. The passage that we're going to be reading is Psalm 46. Psalm 46. If you have a Bible at home, do take hold of that. That might be really helpful for you. If not, the passage will come up on the screen. Psalm 46. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we come to look at God's word together, let's begin with a prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for this time to look at your word more closely. Would you please show us wonderful things in it for Jesus' sake? Amen. I only had to walk into our local supermarket on Thursday to immediately see that Maidenhead is anxious about COVID-19. The shelves were empty from all the panic buying. And for many of us, this anxiety is not misplaced. You already have a serious health issue. Someone you love and cherish is gravely ill. You're in financial difficulty and you fear that the current crisis might put you over the edge. Maybe your worry is over how you or your elderly parents or children or grandchildren will cope with the isolation. But there are worries that have nothing directly to do with COVID-19. There is a child who is struggling and doing foolish and destructive things. There is a parent who is making insufferable demands. Your marriage is in severe difficulty or some other significant relationship has broken down. The scenarios are endless. A good number of us will know what it's like to be awake at night and unable to sleep because our mind is racing. You know what it's like to be overtaken by circumstances and find yourself overwhelmed. You know what it's like to be full of fear. Well, in this psalm, the psalmist looks at trouble full in the face. In fact, as we shall see, there is a strong possibility that he and his people were facing annihilation. Nevertheless, they make the bold claim that however dire the situation, they will not be afraid. They will not give way to fear. Now, we might think, come on, that's entirely unrealistic. But the psalmist gives reasons for this bold claim, and we're going to look at them together. And it's my hope and prayer that as a result of looking at this psalm, we will all be greatly comforted and know where to go in our troubles. The psalm gives us three reasons why we need not be afraid. First, there is no need to be afraid because God is a safe refuge for his people. Look at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. COVID-19 is a worry, But there are more worrying and terrifying catastrophes that I can think of. A nuclear holocaust, a pandemic with a much deadlier virus than this one. Well, the psalmist here comes up with his worst case scenario, and it is a cataclysmic earthquake so powerful that whole mountains fall into the sea. I don't know whether it still exists, but in the Science Museum in London, in the geology section, one of the exhibits simulates an earthquake that took place in Japan in 1984. You go into a room which is kitted out like a Japanese supermarket, and the floor begins to shake, and it gets stronger and stronger, and things fall off the shelves, and it's all quite fun because you know you're safe. But there's nothing fun about being caught up in a real earthquake where there is nowhere you can go which is solid and safe. For Jews, mountains were the pillars of the earth. They are what held everything together. The sea, well, that was the place of chaos. So what the psalmist is describing is actually the undoing of creation, the falling apart of everything. It is the ultimate disaster. And he says, even if that happens, verse 2, we will not fear. Now, in a sense, you cannot stop fear. It's a natural and healthy reaction to real danger. It produces adrenaline in your body. It makes you more alert. But the point is, you can't maintain fear long without it causing you lasting physical and emotional damage. It quickly saps all your physical strength and emotional strength. So where do you flee for safety when the bottom has fallen out of your life? Where can you go to recover when you are totally without resources and strength? And the answer is God. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. When the very foundations of the earth fall away beneath your feet, the one you want to flee to is the creator of the earth and everything in it. You see, God is not taken by surprise by this virus. This universe is under his control. He made it, and he sustains all in it. And so if we can know for certain that this God, the Creator, is for us, then we can be completely confident that we are safe in his hands. And if we have come to know Jesus and have put our trust in him, then we can be absolutely certain that God is for us, that he is on our side. As the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? What is more, God is not a distant help. He is ever present. God is our refuge and strength, an ever present help in trouble. You don't have to get out your mobile before you can make contact with God. You don't have to get into a car and drive somewhere. Wherever you are and whatever your predicament, all you have to do is to turn your heart and mind to him. There is no need to be afraid because God is a safe refuge for his people. But also there's no need to be afraid because God is with his people. And here we're looking at verses 4 to 7. You see, after the earthquake and tsunami and roaring seas of verses 1 to 3, the imagery of verses 4 and 5 is calm and peaceful. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. Now this city where God dwells is Jerusalem. But Jerusalem is situated on top of a hill, and there's no river that runs through it. But just outside the city walls of Jerusalem, there is a natural spring called Gihon. And in the 8th century BC, one of the kings of Judah, called Hezekiah, built a tunnel from within the city walls to the spring to ensure a fresh supply of water in preparation of a siege. Anyway, given other references in these verses, it's very likely that the river whose streams make glad the city of God is a reference to Hezekiah's water supply, and that verses 4 to 7 refer to this particular historical occasion when Jerusalem was miraculously delivered by God from Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. Things were really desperate. 20 years earlier, Sennacherib's predecessor had totally destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel and depopulated the area. And now it looked like Sennacherib would do the same in the south. All the other fortified cities of Judah had fallen. Only Jerusalem was left. Jerusalem was surrounded by a vast army. She was totally alone, and she had very limited resources. Sennacherib mocked God and urged the people of Jerusalem to surrender. But Hezekiah, in this most hopeless of situations, cried out to God. And during one night, God devastated the Assyrian camp, and so Sennacherib was forced to withdraw. Verse 6. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You see, at the end of the day, Jerusalem was delivered from annihilation, not because of Hezekiah's ingenuity and planning and the fresh supply of water. No, Jerusalem was delivered because that city bore God's name and God was with his people. And just as Israel of old could look back to this incident of God rescuing them from the hand of Sennacherib, so Christians today can look back to the birth, life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and see how, despite many troubles and persecutions and battles and false teaching and false ideas over the centuries, God has kept his people and grown his church. There is no need to be afraid, because God is with his people. He was with Israel, then he is with us today. And then finally, there's no need to be afraid, because God is victorious and will give his people peace. And here we're looking at the last stanza, verses 8 to 11. The psalmist invites us to come and see the works of the Lord, but he's quite specific about what he wants us to consider. He wants us to consider the desolations God has brought on the earth. Now that seems rather negative and destructive, doesn't it? But in the next verse, the psalmist speaks about how God makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. The desolations that the psalmist is particularly thinking about are going to bring peace to the world. Jesus told his disciples that there would always be natural disasters, wars, and rumors of wars, right up to the end of the world when he came to return to judge the living and the dead. In this world, we will never be freed from viruses and natural disasters and conflicts, despite the best efforts of the UN and national governments. But when Christ returns on the day of judgment, all wars, disease, and natural disaster will cease forever. And so this last stanza is looking ahead to that time when God will act finally and decisively through Jesus to remove all evil and suffering and opposition to his rule. And in verse 10, is as if we have Jesus addressing not only his people, but the whole earth. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I don't know about you, but I certainly need to hear this word, because I'm such an activist. Things go wrong and I like to try and sort them out. But our strategies and plans and effort won't bring about God's kingdom and Jesus' return. He will do that in his good time. And so we don't need to worry. We don't have to worry whether our plans work out, because God's plans will. He is in absolute control. We need only trust God and make him our refuge and strength and walk in obedience before him. And on that day when Christ returns, every nation and every person will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and God. And not only will Christ be exalted, but all of Christ's people will be vindicated as well. So during this time of huge uncertainty, as COVID-19 brings normal life to a standstill, can I encourage all of us to actively recognize that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Israel, is our refuge and strength. He is our ever-present help in trouble. For those of us who are believers, make the most of this time to deepen your trust in Jesus. If you don't yet make it your daily habit, try and spend a few minutes each day drawing near to your Heavenly Father and recognize that He is your refuge and strength. Those of us with children, why not have a time each day when you look at a few verses of the Bible together and pray? There are recommendations of how you can do this on the resources section of our website. But as well as fixing our eyes on Jesus, let us also use this time to actively look out and care for one another. Although we can't meet together physically, we can remotely. And already a number of church groups have met using Zoom and other conference call software. Do look out for neighbours and other vulnerable people you know. And if you need help yourself, please contact us. Details will appear at the end of this broadcast on how you can do that. Where we can help people out, let's all try and do that, following the example of our Lord Jesus. And then this extraordinary time will provide the Christian community with new opportunities to engage people with the good news of Jesus Christ. The Christian gospel has a perspective on the virus which the world needs to hear. God is facing us up to our weakness and vulnerability as human beings. We're not in control, but He is. And He has revealed His goodness and glory to us in Jesus. If you don't know or are confused about the good news of Jesus and how He can be our Savior and refuge, do get in touch with us. We would love to help you learn more about Him. I know it's hard not to worry, and these are indeed worrying times. For most people, the causes of their anxiety are certainly not irrational. Nevertheless, we have a solid place to flee to with our real anxieties. There is no need to be afraid because God is a safe refuge for His people. There is no need to be afraid because God is with His people. And there is no need to be afraid because God is victorious and will give His people peace. Let me read the final verse of the psalm. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let me close with a prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we praise and thank You that through our Lord Jesus Christ we can know that You are for us, that You are with us, and that nothing can separate us from Your love. We praise You that You are an ever-present help in times of trouble. And may not only Your people, may many seek You and recognize Your sovereign rule and Your goodness and kindness at this testing time for us, not only as a nation, but as a whole human race. And we ask this in Christ's precious name. Amen.